out. You have to slice and dice the data in 1,000 different ways before you can actually know it. Versus you let an AI tool kind of read through your data and give you those patterns. You take those patterns and make your, in this case, marketing decision based on those patterns that you have derived from the AI tool. I would never let the AI tool decide how much money I'm going to put in marketing, but I'll let him tell me or her tell me what kind of pattern is available in my data and how can I make, and then I can make the decision of how can I make it better.
Hey, thanks for listening to Harbor Time Podcast. Today we're discussing a couple of hot topics: big data and artificial intelligence, AI. AI is going to impact us all, so you might as well learn what it is and how you can use it to help propel your career, your profession, your business, your life in general. Pusanjit Bhattacharya is a big data expert, and we will discuss artificial intelligence as a tool to help make decisions, how big data can help guide your business, particularly coupled with artificial intelligence, and will AI take over your job? Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Please leave a comment, like, subscribe, share the podcast. Enjoy. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Harbor Time Podcast, and I suppose some of you are watching too. Today we've got a really exciting topic, and we'll get to that in a minute. We're gonna spend some time talking about AI, and I'll break it down in just a second. But I wanted to say for a minute, thank you to everybody for listening and watching. We have been picking up some subscribers and some followers, and I'm very appreciative of that. And you know, please feel free to leave a comment. Feel free to share the podcast or the videos with someone. Hopefully, this information is helpful. I know a lot of the focus has been on small businesses or business growth, and recently looking a little bit at job searching and solopreneurs who are over 50. So hopefully this information is helpful. I know today is going to be helpful because we are going to talk about a topic that is, I guess you could just say it's a hot topic, right? Artificial intelligence has hit the scene of late. We know artificial intelligence has actually been around for a very long time, but since about November, it seems like it's really hit the scene with ChatGPT and OpenAI, people worrying about their jobs. You know, there's so many things to worry about, and we're going to cover that today. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence as a tool to help in decision-making. We're going to talk about how big data can help guide your business, particularly coupled with artificial intelligence. And then we're going to ask the question, will AI take over your job? And in order to cover these topics, I had to bring in a big data and analytics expert, Pusan Bhattacharya. And I'm always nervous when I introduce people, particularly when they have names that I'm not used to saying, right? So hopefully I said that correctly. I know we just met a couple of weeks ago. We were actually introduced by a previous guest, Dennis Garula, who they are mutual acquaintances, and we got connected and we had a great conversation about this topic. So, Pusan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Can you tell us just a brief, a little bit about your background and you know what you've been doing to get to where you are today?
Sure. So I have worked in software and technology for a long time. I did my undergraduate in engineering, which involved robotics as well as machine learning stuff. This was a long time ago. But then I moved to software, worked there for a while, pursued my MBA at SMU, and then joined Match.com as an analytics role and strategy and analytics role there. And since then, my analytics / AI machine learning journey started. And I have worked with various companies, including companies like LendingTree, Match.com, like I said. And here I am today. I'm actually working for a startup right now. It's very exciting because I get to work on interesting projects, which involves big data and machine learning.
So big data and machine learning, which is really what we're discussing today. And that's great that you've come through. So you've had some a lot of startup experience and data experience. And it, as you mentioned, you know, your undergraduate was in machine learning, which has been around for a long time, but artificial intelligence, as we're calling it all today, is kind of the bigger umbrella, right? And it's something that a lot of people are curious about. So that's great. I appreciate that information on your background. What I wanted to start with today, or what we talked about starting with today, is artificial intelligence as a tool to help make decisions. And so, you know, artificial intelligence, I've been using it as a way to come up with podcast outlines like this one, for instance. And I know we went back and forth on it and added our touch, but it does kind of help with that sort of stuff. I've heard of people writing college papers with it. I've heard of people writing books with it. I've heard of people writing a lot, using artificial intelligence for a lot of things. And I know there's a lot of fear around artificial intelligence and a lot of just lack of knowledge. So, you know, I can explain artificial intelligence, but I'd love to hear you explain your what you think about artificial intelligence or what artificial intelligence is.
Sure. So let me start with saying, where would the intelligence come from, right? The intelligence would come from data, from our past experience. We collect data as humans. From our birth till the point we die, we are collecting data, processing it. And so does the machine. When you feed in enough information, it can find patterns that then they can use to actually conclude something. Most of the times, though, it is guided by humans by putting a specific target. So for example, you know, if you want to figure out who is going to ask for a loan in a company who's providing loans, or where could be there like an insurance claim, like for an example, an insurance company would like to care for, there you're guiding the machine to create that conclusion from the data that has been fed into it. But the AI tools that you talked about, for example, ChatGPT, and then I would also mention AlphaZero, which is actually created by Google's DeepMind. It is one of the best chess playing machine that is available, and it has won many games, and now it's actually the champion. And the reason for that is basically it takes the data that is available and it plays against itself to come up with the strategy that then helps it win, which humans usually don't take those strategies because of the risk involved. And in this case, the machine doesn't have that risk in its mind. And then as a result, it is taking those decisions and becoming successful. Similarly for ChatGPT, you know, it is processing thousands of texts in the internet and creating this huge corpus of data that then they can process and give you this outline for example, for the podcast. And, you know, that for a human to come up with that, they have to go through not that many texts, but, you know, at least a significant amount of knowledge before they can come up with that, right? Like, I mean, if you ask a five-year-old, the five-year-old won't be able to give you the outline of a podcast, but, you know, somebody like me or you could be able to do it because we have that information.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about using it in the context of the podcast is it provided me with kind of a general outline based on our conversation 2 weeks ago, let's put it that way. And then I sent it to you and you said, yeah, but you know, I think we need to move this up to section one. And maybe this section doesn't really flow with what we were talking about. So maybe you change this, right? And to me, that is the difference, at least between the ChatGPT type of artificial intelligence right now and the human intuition, if you will, or the human being knowledge, is based on your experiences and my experiences. Even though ChatGPT can come up with something, it wasn't just exactly what we felt like needed to be covered, right? So we had That's the ability to twist it, move it around, massage it till we get it to what we want.
That's true. That's true.
So how do you differentiate machine learning? This isn't one of the questions, by the way, on the, well, first let me take a step back before I go this. Did you ever see the game War Games or the movie War Games?
No.
It's a movie War Games from the 80s. And it's about a big computer that the Department of Defense uses to game thermonuclear warfare, right? And somehow the machine got hacked, and then it started playing against itself, and it ended up playing, I believe, tic-tac-toe, and then it ended up playing a game of thermonuclear war, and they thought it was real, though. They didn't know it wasn't real at first. They thought the end of the world was coming, and at the end, Joshua, which was the name of the computer because the person who developed it had a son who died, all this kind of stuff, but the ending of it was, well, this is a very strange game. Talking about thermonuclear war, the only way to win is not to play, right? So it went through millions and millions and millions of scenarios, and that's kind of how I envision AI right now, or again, the ChatGPT kind of AI, and even machine learning. But what I was going to ask is, how do you differ, or you know, what are some differentiations, if you will, between machine learning, quote unquote, and AI, or is it just all in one bucket?
In my opinion, it is the same bucket, but AI is a superset of machine learning, right? So machine learning is part of what AI has to offer. Let me give you a couple of like quick technical background around this machine learning stuff that we always talk about. So if you think about how we train computers to find patterns in the data, there are three ways you can do it. The first one is you give the computer a target. For example, you say, like we said, you know, who is going to take the loan or who is going to claim something from like the insurance company, right? Those kind of stuff. That is called supervised learning. And that is actually part of machine learning. And then you can say, okay, here are the folks that are listening to this podcast. What is the basic pattern in their behavior, in the demographics, etc. I really don't know what you need to look for, but just find patterns, right? And that's, you know, the machine would go and look at the data, cluster it. And that clustering process is called unsupervised learning. And then there is stuff like we call it reinforcement learning and so forth. But basically, when you say reinforcement learning, it's basically the computer is learning from its own behavior. So it gives you X and you behave in a certain way, it learns and gives you Y and so on and so forth and keep on learning on that. And at that moment, you're almost getting to the zone of AI and if not already in AI zone where it's actually making decisions based on learnings that it's doing on itself, but not coming from human, right? And just a little bit more technical, there is something called neural network that is used for training these models, and neural network is something that is super powerful. In fact, one of the background technology for things like ChatGPT, which behaves very similar to our brain.
Well, that is, I think that's what's scary to a lot of people, right? Is that the AI or machine learning or whatever can act very similarly to our brain. Do you think there are drawbacks of using AI to make decisions? I think there are, and I'll give you an example. I just wrote a blog recently about how AI won't eliminate gut decisions. Now, some people may say, "Well, your gut isn't always right. You're making a decision just based on emotions and based on this." But to me, that's the essence of being a human being. Is we have experiences. We've felt things, we've smelt things, we've touched things, we've made decisions that went the wrong way, that should have gone the right way, but went the wrong way. All of this kind of stuff. And one of the other examples I give is soul food, or you know, you hear about soul food or just anything. Like my mom is a great cook. Well, her recipes, she would just kind of, depending on the day, depending on the mood, might put in more pepper or salt or onions or fill in the blank. Well, to me, ChatGPT or AI can't replicate that, right? It can't replicate those feelings, or it can't replicate a gut decision. So, you know, what do you think are some drawbacks of using AI to make decisions?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. The first thing is, you know, like I started saying that AI is driven by the data that we feed it to. Like, so the data that is given to the computer is what is used to make the decision. The data originally is generated by human, and then computer is trying to find the pattern. But humans are conscious, and as a result, they generate data that a machine cannot generate, at this point at least, right? So if there is a futuristic situation where, you know, the machine becomes conscious, that would be scary. But I hope that is like way in the future, not now. But at this moment, though, AI is driven by the data that we feed it. As a result, it is not aware of the guardrails that you just talked about. You talked about your mom, like knowing things like, okay, I'll put this much salt, maybe this much sugar, but you're not going to put the whole bottle of salt in the cooking because she knows that that's the guardrail. But AI doesn't necessarily always know that guardrail. And as a result, might put the whole salt in the food and say, let's try this one out. How does it go? Right. And so those kind of things is where your gut comes into play and kind of prevents you from doing things that you have learned from your parents, from your teachers, from your friends and neighbors and colleagues and whatever, right? So there is no such society or a group of AI tools that are talking to each other and figuring out what's the best thing to do. And also they don't have all the information, right, that we have. Just letting AI to run on autopilot could be scary. In my opinion, you can let AI make a decision, but you have to have the human accountable for it. As a result, the human has to bless the decision. And as a result, the human has to control the decision, like we did for the podcast outline.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think that's, you know, us formulating the outline, me formulating some of my blog posts or whatever the case may be. And I encourage people, again, you know, AI is bigger than just ChatGPT, right? Machine learning is bigger than ChatGPT. But that's a good place to start. If you want to learn a little bit about it, go open up an account on ChatGPT or the other one that you mentioned earlier, or I guess you could use it on Bing now. You know, you can use it. They're all moving towards it, right? And try it out. Ask it a question. You know, interact with ChatGPT and see what happens. But let's go on to segment two here, or what I'm calling segment two. It helps me organize my thoughts or to get things to better when I break them down into segments. Your background is in data, big data, machine learning, analytics. So how can big data help guide a business, particularly coupled with artificial intelligence now? So we've got this new tool, we've got big data. How can a small business owner, or large business owner for that matter, you know, a lot of what I focus on is solopreneurs and small businesses, how can they start to use big data and use AI to help in decision-making?
Yeah, so one thing, which again, it's a positive point for AI that AI does very well, is to find patterns that humans won't be able to find quickly. And it can scour through a lot of data at a very quick rate and come up with those patterns, right? And so in business, right, sometimes we make decisions based on some patterns. Let's say you are looking at your sales growth, you know, week over week, month over month, year over year, whatever. You're looking at some pattern of seasonality and things like that. You do your gut check and figure out, okay, there is a seasonal pattern. I might want to dial down my marketing spend or dial up my marketing spend and so on and so forth. But there could be nuances in terms of like within the month, right? Within the week. And all that for you to figure out, you have to slice and dice the data in 1,000 different ways before you can actually know it. Versus you let an AI tool kind of read through your data and give you those patterns. You take those patterns and make your, in this case, marketing decision based on those patterns that you have derived from the AI tool. I would never let the AI tool decide how much money I'm going to put in marketing, but I'll let him tell me or her tell me what kind of pattern is available in my data and how can I make, and then I can make the decision of how can I make it better.
Yeah, that's a great one. I know we talked a little bit about, or at least, you know, wrote a little bit about the identifying patterns and trends. And that takes time, right? I mean, obviously some people can look at information and there's your gut feeling, and you may know that if you sell wrapping paper for Christmas, that your sales are going to go up in December, right? I mean, that some things are no brainers. But if you're looking for a competitive edge in business, right? Or, you know, how can I beat my competition this week, right? This week, this month. Well, there's all this big data now. You've been in business for a while, or there's market data, market analysis, consumer trends. How do you take that information in, have it analyzed? I think one of the keywords there is rather quickly, right? I mean, anybody who's used artificial intelligence or programs that have, you know, already put together on top of big data realize that that information comes together pretty quickly, right? It didn't always come together quickly. It takes a while to, you know, it takes a while to build the things that bring it to us quickly. But a competitive advantage could just be knowing the weekly trends, right? The daily trends. Where do you need to focus today? Not necessarily based on your gut, but gut coupled with big data analyzed by artificial intelligence. You take it all in. It sounds complicated, and it is. But once you start using it, then you know, perhaps you're building a strategic advantage. What about, well, let's talk about the challenge of managing big data then. I mean, small business, I guess now we have access to it. You can pay for data from others. You can do a lot of stuff. But you know, what are some of the challenges in managing big data?
Sure. So you know, we started the section by talking about like what AI uses, what are the drawbacks, if anything. So one of the main thing is like I said, you know, there are no guardrails, but there's also, we always talk about this, right? Garbage in, garbage out. So whatever data you give to AI is what it will conclude on, right? And the data cleanup process is not necessarily done by AI. It is done by humans. So when you are collecting big data, be it from your own source or external source, it will be super important for you to know, like, what is the right data? What is the right format? And I'm not like putting random things together and asking the machine to conclude something. That is the decision that humans have to take, feed into the system, and then it will give you the right conclusion. And so, while managing the data, I think some standard comments like data governance or data quality check, as well as making sure, you know, the data integrity exists, that is super important. Of course, as you mentioned, you know, we have all the cloud tools today, which we did not have a few years back. And that allows us to handle all this thing, but we have to be cognizant of what we are feeding into the machine for the conclusion.
That's interesting. You know, someone like me, I'm more of a sales guy, if you will, or a talker. I'm not a data gatherer. I like to read data. I like to look at it. But yeah, I've not really thought much about, well, I've got to trust that the person who put this data together or put the inputs into it, and I may not be using the right words, but whoever started to put that, they're not biased or that they're not skewing or that they're not withholding certain things, right? It's only as good as what we put in. I know a lot of times in politics, and I don't normally talk about politics and I'm not now, but you know, someone may see a poll and it says, you know, 30% of voters this, and you're thinking, well, that's totally the opposite of me. There's no way. They must have skewed the way that they asked the question. They must be asking the question differently. And I guess that's a little bit the same concept, right, of the inputs going into it. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of asking wrong questions. I was just saying, I know I've felt that way before, and I know others probably have too. But coupling that data together to make decisions is very important. Managing it, analyzing it, identifying the patterns, like we said, you know, particularly even sub patterns, if you want to call it that. I'm always scared when I'm on talking with someone who's like an expert in data and technology and all that, because I start using my words and I'm afraid that I may confuse things. But I think you know what I'm saying there.
I do. Yeah, I think you're very clear.
Okay. Thank goodness. So then let's talk about a very, very hot topic. And I've just switched the board here, but will AI take over your job? And before we get there, I will say 2 days ago, and I tried to find the article again. I was going to snip it and put it up here. But 2 days ago, I read an article that McDonald's here in Dallas-Fort Worth, I guess it's maybe over in the Fort Worth area, has a completely non-human being run store now. I guess they probably have a manager, or maybe a couple of people there. You walk in, you order, your food comes out. I don't know how they do it. I'm going to look into it a little bit more. I may even go over there and check it out. So maybe some jobs ultimately will be eliminated by machines or AI. But what do you think? Will AI take your job?
Well, the answer is not one sentence. Unfortunately, I have to say few. Okay. First thing first, my reaction to the McDonald's situation is that I read an article from Harvard Business Review a while back, where they did a research that at the point of sale, if you put a human, the chances of getting more transaction out of a customer is much higher versus if the customer is interacting with the machine. And the reason for that is that human touch actually makes us feel warm, and then we tend to, you know, just feel good and buy stuff, right? Now, it's obviously the business's call and whatever they want to do, but if you make it automated, I don't know how much traction it will get. It may be convenient, it may save them money, but people might not like it because, you know, I don't have a human to talk to. Is this burger even good? I cannot even ask that question. Is the fry even fresh? Those kind of stuff. You just have to trust and take it and move on. This is not a train ticket that you can buy it from a booth. Even then, I had so many questions one day when I was trying to buy a ticket in San Francisco and I had to go and ask somebody. Yes, AI can take your job. In the example that you gave is actually one of them. But in the end, right, what if that automated store makes a mistake, and something very fatal mistake or something of that sort, right? Who is on the hook? You'll say it's the company that is actually letting it do it. But then why would you even allow that, right? You need to put a human, at least one person there, who can actually oversee that operation and make sure it's going fine. But then when you scale, you need to have more people, you know, kind of looking at that operation. So the way I think, maybe I am in a utopian world where basically AI actually lets us work less, but the work itself doesn't go away because you are now more responsible and working less. And you are responsible for what the AI produces, and you're on the hook to give the answer if AI gets it wrong, right?
Yeah, I love what you said about the human interaction. And even going back to the McDonald's example, yeah, maybe they could sell more ice cream if there's a person there and the person says, hey, would you like a scoop of ice cream? Whereas if a little pop-up comes up on a screen, it's a lot easier just to swipe or to hit no, right? But there is also not just it's hard to say no to a person. There is the human interaction, the affection, the emotion that goes with it. Like, you know, my daughters were in Girl Scouts selling Girl Scout cookies. I mean, I can't imagine. I wouldn't buy a Girl Scout cookie from a robot, but you do it from the little girls sitting there selling it to you, right? The human beings and the emotions and the fact that you remember, like, I'll probably always buy Girl Scout cookies now because my daughter sold Girl Scout cookies. They're beyond that now. They're older, but, you know, there are these emotions and all these things. You're a data guy, you understand machine learning, you know, in that I'm a kind of, like I said, a sales guy, a client relations type guy. What about if people are concerned about, I've heard that AI is going to be really good at customer service or medical billing or whatever the case may be, where should they focus? You know, what would be a good tip for someone to focus right now on career growth, professional growth, if they're concerned about AI taking over their job?
I would go back to a point that you made a while back, which was go and play around with ChatGPT, for example, or other tools like that. Get yourself familiarized with those tools. if you want to get into the weeds and get into the technical stuff, take some courses. There are Coursera, LinkedIn, whatnot. But really, I don't think, like, you know, if you think about sales, right? Will your client really accept a proposal from an AI? Or it will be even worse, like if the client also is sending their AI bot and you are sending your AI bot and they are negotiating your interest when they don't even know how your life and what your business is all about. Like, I mean, that's insane. I don't think that can even ever happen, to be honest.
I agree. I mean, I think attorneys, obviously medical, a doctor. I mean, I would much, if I have an illness, I get it that I can go research it on the internet and diagnose myself. You know, everybody goes for the worst, right? If you have a pain in the side of your stomach, you go to the internet. Next thing you know, you think you have cancer, right? Or you think you have whatever based on your self-diagnosis. But you really, and you could probably even put it into ChatGPT or some sort of bot and say, hey, I've kind of had these problems. Can you tell me what you think it is? I'd still rather have my, you know, human being doctor diagnose it for me after running scans and tests and blood tests and all of that to say, you know, Colin, here's what you have. Here's the plan we've got to make you better. Right. So I think there are just, and like I said, even at a fast food restaurant, when you order, you know, meat and cheese only on your hamburger, as opposed to the way it comes, or you want one different combination. I mean, you want to make sure that you're ordering it and you're looking somebody in the eye when they get it right. So I don't know. I think we've got a long way to go. I love artificial, or at least what I've used of artificial intelligence. I've said it before. I've been using it for a few years, actually, through a company called Lately, lately.ai. And it actually some of these videos, I'll be putting this podcast through it and it will break it down into smaller clips that I'll eventually use. And it does all the work. It finds, you know, based on my previous experience, it comes up with posts. I always change them. And they actually recommend that you change it. It's like, here's what AI produces, but you need to put your personal touch on it, right?
Right.
And it finds these little clips of videos. And then ChatGPT, I just started, I've had it write poems, interestingly. You know, I've had it write, articles for me. I've used it to come up with outlines or give me a 12-week social media plan, right? If I'm a small business focusing on this, it will tell you week one, week two, week three, week four. You don't have to follow it word for word, you know, but it's a good place to start. So ultimately, I think we've answered this, but the ultimate question is, can AI replace humans?
According to me, no, because our society is for the human, and you cannot just replace human with machines. Then who is going to, like, I mean, that doesn't even make sense. But yes, there are some jobs that could be done by AI. And to take your example of cancer, unfortunately, my mom passed away because she had cancer. And before she had cancer, for like 2 years prior to that, she started having some back pains. And the doctor actually thought it's arthritis. You know, in this kind of scenario, right? An image can be taken and fed it to AI, and AI can predict that this could be a cancer symptom. In that case, the doctor can preemptively take some actions. The AI is not treating my mom, but doctor is, right? But he's getting informed by the information that has been produced by AI. I think that's the right combination. AI cannot take the job. It has to be a partnership between machines and humans, in my opinion.
That is great. And that's a good way to kind of start wrapping it up. Is it's a combination, right? There are things that AI will be able to help with a lot of times that the human eye won't see, or like this, maybe the human eye sees it going a little bit of a different direction, but there is some sort of AI that tells it, hey, this could also be X, right? Don't you know, it might not be, but it sure is a symptom of it, right? And it's this, you know, we're talking about health there and medical issues, but it's the same thing in business, which is, hey, you know, you might want to make this decision based on these factors, but you as a human being may say, yeah, but we did that last October and it didn't work out very well, right? So we want to maybe put a little bit of a different twist on it this year. So, you know, I love the whole discussion around AI. I love the concepts of coupling it with big data, how you can use AI to analyze big data, and then even small businesses now can use these tools to help grow, to help serve their customers, to help make a better product, to help make a better service. Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
Like I said, it would be a partnership of human and AI is the future, how I look at it. And if you're interested, for sure, try to, you know, go and investigate how these tools are working. The knowledge will never hurt.
The knowledge will not hurt. And that's a great point. You know, the wrap up on the outline says encouragement to apply the lessons learned from the podcast. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, which is just go try it out, right? If all you gain from it is a new knowledge set that you didn't have before, a knowledge about AI, how to use it, what prompts to ask, how quickly, you've got now cocktail talk, right? If you've used AI, you can talk intelligently with it. So I want to thank you for joining today. This was good. This is one of my favorite topics right now. And I know we covered a lot in the 30 minutes or so, but you know, I appreciate you being on here. I know people can find you on LinkedIn if they need to find you. It's Pusanjeet Bhattacharya. It's going across the bottom of the screen right now. Two O's, two S's, and then two E's ultimately. That's the way I remember it. So in the last name, I actually went to Baylor with a lady with the same last name. So the last name was easy. The first name was a little bit more difficult for this guy. But I've really enjoyed getting to know you over the last couple of weeks. I'm glad Dennis introduced us. I think these topics are great. If I have questions about big data and AI, I've got hopefully an expert that I can tap into now from time to time. So thank you very much for listening and watch or joining us today. And thank you to everybody who listened and watched. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or add comments. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you.